morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I like to see the scripture recital. It's important. It's good to see Brother Roy Barnes with us this morning. When I looked up Brother Roy, it was a blessing to me to see you come in. You and Miss Jimmy Lee, it's good to see y'all. Brother Terry, it's good to have you back with us as well, brother. We love y'all. We've got some others that are out. Y'all continue to be in prayer for Brother Ted Adamson. Ted is at home. He had 4 bypass surgery. He did have a little bit of complication, had to stay in a little longer than they wanted, but he's home now, recovering. And I talked to him yesterday, and he said, "Now, if y'all need me, y'all call me. I'll come up there." I said, "Now, brother, you better mind your wife at least this one time." But, I like to be around God's people. Had several people say, "I just didn't want to miss yesterday. I don't want to miss today." And isn't that great that you have a church where people want to come? But y'all pray for Brother Ted. Also be in prayer for Brother Tom Payne. We believe Brother Tom Payne will be back with us soon. We've got homecoming May the 23rd, and I'm really hoping and praying that Brother Tom can be here with us on that day. And, he'll have a presentation for the church. Remember Miss Jessie Long. She's not able to be with us. I mean, health just won't allow them to get out and travel this far anymore, but they would be here if they could. You know, we have members that drive a little bit of a ways to get here, and they are one family that drive a little ways, but you pray for them, remember them. I told Kendra that song was by special request this morning. Everybody's going through something. My daughter said, "Y'all are wearing that song out." Let me tell y'all something. Y'all sing it every Sunday, as far as I'm concerned. I never get tired of it because everybody is going through something. Everybody. And on this life, you're going to go through things. But there's going to come a day we're going to lay it down. This morning, I want to preach, if I can, for just a little bit out of Revelation chapter number 21. Going to read verse number 1 through verse number 8. And here's the topic this morning. This God laid this on my heart this week. Things that will not be in heaven. I was at work dealing with metal. Metal is going up just like wood, just like steel, just like concrete. It's frustrating to try to run a business when you have a backlog and your prices are escalating every day and you start to see the margins dwindle. And I was sitting there dealing with all that, and I was, you know how I complain about having to do it, and all of a sudden God puts this thought in my heart, and I thought, I was ready to go to church. As I begin to think about the things that will not be in heaven. If you got your Bible, let's turn over and let's read these first 8 verses. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. But he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto them, Write. For these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, if we want to think for just a few minutes, the Bible's very clear here, and I begin to think about the things that will not be in heaven. The first one that I want us to understand that will not be in heaven is there will be no more death. You know, the week before last, I was, in 1 week's time, had to attend 2 funerals. One of the funerals was that of a little 7.5-week-old baby girl. And it was a baby girl that the mother and daddy wanted, they desired, they longed for. The other was a funeral of a 45-year-old woman. And I begin to think as I attend these, and this is part of what it's like to be a Christian, to be a part of a church. You know, I have people that I work with, people who are in the secular world, who some of them get way up in their years and they say, well, I've never been to a funeral. They say, I've never lost anyone close to me, but that's not the case for us. I mean, because we are a family, and folks, church is a family. We come together and we're born again, and being saved and being born again, you are part of the family of God. I've traveled to different states. I've traveled to different parts of the country, and I've run into people the first time in my life meeting them. It was just like I had known them all my life. They were my family. And because they are family, I believe I understand more as I get older as a Christian what the Lord told Peter. He said, if you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my sheep. And here's the thing I want you to understand. If you're born into the family of God and someone else is part of the family of God, I believe God gives you something inside of you, as which is a love for those people which are your family. And being a Christian, being a preacher, being in church all of my life, I have attended funeral after funeral after funeral. And every time I go to one, I get the little card which they have up front, which has the date that they were born and the date that they passed. And it generally has some scripture or it has a poem. Sometimes it has a picture. I have a stack of them. And I just keep putting a bigger clip on them and I keep adding another one and I keep adding another one. And every time that I go, every time that we put a name on the plaque back here, it puts a spot on my heart. I can't help it. It hurts. And it bothers me sometimes when I look down and I see that it happens to all ages. It happens to babies and it happens to people that are up in their 80s and 90s and 100 years old. But I've done funerals of teenagers. I've done funerals of people in their 20s. We question and we don't understand. I've done funerals of people that have died in prison. I've done funerals of people who died involved with terrible things that they were involved in. And we stand before the family and we talk about the Lord. And it's death. And it's pain. And it hurts. But I want you to understand in heaven, there's going to be no more death. I want us to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 to just read a few verses. And then we'll come back to Revelation. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 50, it says this. It says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery, and we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, in heaven, there will be no more death. There will be no more weeping, no more sorrow over the loved ones that have left. And you know, I praise God when I read the scripture and begin to understand the things that he said. Now, he gives us these things. He said, no death. Now here he says, no more sorrow. You know, there's one thing about death is it's final. And sometimes, you know, it's final for here, and we step out into eternity. But what about this side of death? Sometimes on this side of death, in this life, we see sorrow. And I begin to think about some of the sorrow that we deal with and some of the things that are going to be not going to be in heaven, and I begin to get be excited about it. You know, heaven is going to be the end of pain. Have you ever thought about that? It's the end of all kinds of pain. You know, I'm kind of at the point in my life that if I keep moving, I'm okay. It's when I stop. You know, and we laugh, but you understand that. You know, I get in my truck and I drive 50 miles and I get out and it's like I have to start over again. I have to adjust. I have to get my body used to the motion. Now, young people, I know y'all don't know anything about it. Believe me, it's coming. Okay? I got a guy that I work with. He turned 40 and he talked about being 40 and he started bragging about how good he felt. And, you know, he said, you know, that's not going to happen to me. Well, he just recently turned 50. I said, well, how's it going? He said, He didn't really want to talk about it. But heaven is going to be the end of pain. It's going to be the end of all suffering. You know, sometimes in this life, as we're going through life and we go through things and, you know, we're trying to serve God, but the truth is, as we face the different points and places in our life, there's oftentimes we have questions because truth is we just don't understand. Heaven is the end of suffering of any fashion. As I begin to think about this and the things that are in this life, it's the end of pain, it's the end of suffering, it's the end of exhaustion. You know, we've passed a couple of days here, we've worked and people have worked together, and it's such a blessing to see a church come together like an army to accomplish what you have, and you're praise God for that. It's because you work together, but at the end of the day, you're tired. And you go home and you feel that tiredness. And this morning, I appreciate my wife not hitting me. You ever had a snooze go off for 2 hours? 2 hours. I had it set for 6. I got up at 8 and I realized I never turned that button on. Every now and then it would be. Heaven is going to be the end of exhaustion. But there's so many things. Heaven's going to be the end of nursing homes. Heaven's going to be the end of people spending their entire life serving God and getting to the point, as the Lord told Peter, he said, there'll come a day when people will take you and lead you where you don't want to go. And he was talking about Peter's life, and he spoke a few words prophetically about Peter's death. But I know a very dear man, and I was thinking about him. He came to my heart and my mind when I began to study this message, that when we were growing up, how he served God and how I used to watch him down at Welcome Hill Baptist Church. He came in, and Brother Allen, he sat right where you're sitting. His name was Harley Kimmons. And he would come in, and he would go to church, and underneath his feet, there was a piece of carpet that was about this big that was just worn out. He had sat there, and during good service, when the meeting was good, he shuffled his feet back and forth, and he stomped his feet until he tore the carpet up. And he just loved being in the house of God, and he loved being around God's people. Now, folks, most of those churches didn't have the number of people even that this did. But the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, there I'll be in the midst. And I remember how Brother Harley would sit, and he would worship God, and he would praise God, and he would get up and he would preach the word of God, and he would teach, and he loved God, and he did it all of his life, all I can remember, until one day I got a call that he had Alzheimer's. And it got to the point when people would go visit him, he wouldn't remember them. And then it even got to the point that he didn't remember his wife. But she said all that he would do is sit and talk to the Lord. But here's what I want you to understand. A lot of people have been through this, but it's not going to be in heaven, okay? There's not going to be any more sorrow. There's not going to be any more nursing homes. There's not going to be any more dementia. There's not going to be any more. Do you know that God never forgot Harley? Never. You see, I've seen people get to the point that when they forget everything, the way dementia and the way these diseases work, the body even forgets to function. You have to feed them. But do you know that God will never forget you? There's a verse in the book of Psalms that says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" And then it says, "Yea, they may forget." But God said, He said, "But I will not forget you, for I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." You see, God's not going to forget you. It's going to be the end of those types of things. What about when you're serving God and you're trying to live for God, and your sorrow sometimes comes not even from your own life. It could be somebody that's close to you. It could be somebody that you care about. You're trying to serve God and you're coming to God and you want to know, why in the world is my family member off in a mess? Too many people today, too many people here, too many people that I know are suffering with that. But I want to tell you something, folks, in heaven, there's not going to be any drug abuse. There's not going to be any alcohol abuse. There's not going to be any broken homes. And there's not going to be any missing people. I went to a singing a few years back. Brother Brent, his family, and Heather and Jamie, we went up to see several gospel groups. And there was a group there that they sang a song, "No More Missing People in Heaven." Now, if you've ever been impacted by this, this to me seems overwhelming. But as I listened to the song and I thought about it, I thought about something that had recently happened in our church, where a man was dating a woman that was coming to the church, and they sang in the choir, and he was actually on the phone with her, and she was up in Blue Ridge, Georgia. I think that would be safe, right? Walking down a dirt road in Blue Ridge, just right down the street from the house. She's on the phone with him. He hears some scuffling. The phone is found on the road, and the lady is never heard from again. We hear about it. We see it on milk cartons. They talk about it. It's on billboards, that Atlanta is the number one place in the United States for child and sex trafficking. But we don't think about it when it's across the street. We don't think about it if it's somebody else's child that's off in trouble. We don't think about it if we're not the one that the doctor says, "Hey, there's some things going on in your body that we're going to have to deal with." But here's what I want you to understand. It's not going into heaven. There's not going to be any missing people. There's not going to be any separation. You know, we talked about exhaustion. We talked about the broken homes. And what do they bring? For Christian people, sometimes tears. You know, coming to Christ doesn't mean that everything in your life will be perfect all the time. I got saved when I was 12 because the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Been in church my whole life. But I want to tell you another time that I was in church that a preacher preached. And I was just young, not long after I got saved, maybe 13. And I heard a preacher, he was preaching about Job. And he made this statement. He said, "Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean that everything in your life is going to be perfect all the time." It hit me kind of like the Holy Spirit did when I got saved. I said, "What?" I was just young. You know, you think you come to God and everything's going to be perfect. You come to God, everybody's going through something, but I'd rather go through it with Him. Sometimes down here there's crying. Sometimes down here there's mothers weeping for their children. I can tell you, folks, I've been to a lot of funerals, but I never had one impact me like seeing a daddy pick up a casket with a 7.5-week-old baby in it and tote it out. I want you to pray for them, that God will work in their lives so that we as a church family would have an opportunity to love on those people if God sends them here. Have you ever cried and said, "God, I don't understand"? You ever cried and said, God, I don't know why that it's this way? Have you ever questioned God and say, God, I'm trying to serve you. Why are these things going on in my life? I stand here before you today with as much care as I can to tell you I don't have all those answers. But I know I serve a God. That's the real God. And He's the only one that can help you. You know, one thing the Bible says, there'll be no crying in heaven. There will be no more mothers weeping for their children. I remember one time having a conversation with my mother. And she's the one who told me that a mother is never happier than her least happy child. And I thought about that. And some of you understand that as you pray for those that are in trouble. As you ask prayer for them and you seek God's wisdom and strength to be able to know how to respond to them the right way. But there's going to be no more weeping mothers in heaven. Sometimes in our lives we weep because of the circumstances, the pain, the loss. But sometimes the truth is, as Christians, sometimes we even weep because of the bad decisions we've made. Sometimes there are tears that are necessary in our lives. I don't think there's a man that is a man that doesn't have those times that he gets between God and just him and he weeps before the Lord. If you haven't, that's cleansing. But you know, in heaven there'll be no weeping over the price or the pain or the consequences of sin. That's here. You see, if you're saved by the grace of God, I want you to understand this, and I hope everybody listens to what I'm about to say. If you've been saved by the grace of God, the things that you have done in your life that were not pleasing to the Lord, that sometimes the devil brings back to you, and he brings them up in your mind, and he tries to throw them at you and say, well, you can't serve God, or you can't do this, or you can't do that, would you just tell him that they're all under the blood? And when Jesus Christ hung on a cross and he died for our sins, he didn't just die for the things yesterday, he died for tomorrow. And his grace is sufficient to save me, his grace is sufficient to hold me and to keep me. And in my failure, he is the lifter, as the psalmist said, he is the lifter up of my head. And he knows how to help me if I just come humbly before him. You see, because the former things or passed away. You know, when I think about heaven, one thing that I really am looking forward to, you know, we talk about the beauty, they talk about the structure, but have you ever thought about having a heavenly mind? I want you to think for just a minute about having a mind to where there's no worry. You're not worried about anything. There's nothing troubling your heart or your mind. Nothing keeping you from having rest. Nothing keeping you from having peace. That would be heaven to me. No stress. I've told you before, once I was over at Macklin Baptist Church walking across the parking lot, and there was a man going across there. And I waved at him. I said, how you doing? He said, I'm too blessed to be stressed. And I thought, Lord, what's wrong with me? Sometimes it's stressful, isn't it? Sometimes it's heavy. Sometimes everybody's going through something, and what we need to realize and understand is we need to go through it with God. There's so many things about heaven and so many things in heaven that are a blessing. But I want to tell you something else that's not going to be in heaven. There's not going to be any non-believers in heaven. You know, we're living in a world today that seems upside down. Brother Tim Lee last night, he talked about a little bit of it, and he said it's just demonic. It's an attack. It's amazing to me that the things that the Bible says are very, very plain are being flipped upside down. It's accepted corporately. It's accepted in the world. It's accepted in the news media. You got Hollywood figures that, what you know, the truth is, what's their opinion worth? And then we listen to people who are not saved by the grace of God, that are making decisions to tell you and I what we should do that's absolutely contrary to the Word of God. It reminds me of what's written in Isaiah chapter number 5, where it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. They put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Darkness for light, and light for darkness." If you go on down and read in that same chapter, that same fifth chapter of Isaiah, here's what it says. It says, "Hell hath enlarged herself to receive them at their coming." But what I want you and I to understand as Christians is we don't need to be deceived, fooled, or moved, especially young people, listen to what I'm saying, by a world that does not believe in God. You can't not be educated enough, get enough PhDs from any school to be smarter than God. The Bible talks about them in the last days that they would be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In another place it says this, "A fool is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." If I'm going to follow an authority, it's going to be the Word of God. Because if I read the Word of God and I see what it says, there are going to be some things left outside the gate. Okay, there's not going to be any scooters. There's not going to be any crutches. There's not going to be any trifocals. There's not going to be any knee replacements. There's not going to be any headaches, not going to be any heartaches, not going to be any sorrow, not going to be any pain. But it also talks about a lot of ungodliness that's going to be left outside the gate. Now, if we could see it, if anyone could see it, we'd all want the joy and the glory of it. But a non-believer is not going to heaven. The Scripture says, if you look at Revelation 21, verse number 27, it says, "And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." What I want you to understand about heaven is there's not going to be any wickedness in heaven. Not going to be any wickedness. Not going to be the things that we're seeing in the world today. You see, in the world today, we're made out as Christians because we believe in God to be the problem. But this is not the first time that's happened. They persecuted those that went before us. If you study the 12 apostles and those that were left after Jesus' day, according to what we study in history, all 12 of them died for their faith. In America today, we may complain and grumble a little bit, but we can still come to church. We're still in a place to where they're not outside with chains locking the doors. Heard a story recently of a pastor up in Canada. They're shut down up there again, to where they went in to a church and the pastor said, "We're going to have church." And they took him and they locked him up and they put up a tall fence around the church. Now the church members came back and tore the fence down. But not everybody's doing that. And I'm not advocating you do anything wrong. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just wanting you to understand there is a difference in right and wrong. And don't let a world that's drifting away from God cause you to go the wrong way. We're in a position today that even our faith and the things that we believe in, we're having to stand for them and understand them so that we can stand in the right position. Excuse me, so that we can be where God wants us to be. But if you study history and you understand for Christians, God wants you to serve Him and follow Him humbly. Humbly. I asked a man recently, we were talking about God, and he was pushing some things, trying to push it on people that didn't want it. And I said, for you as a Christian to help somebody else, you first need to have something that somebody wants. And if the world doesn't want Jesus and you show them Jesus, move on to somebody that does. You know, it's unfortunate but true. Not everybody's going to heaven. Only the people who want to go. Now, folks, I want to go. I want to go. I want all the things that I hear about in heaven. And I'm looking forward to getting past all the things that are going to be left outside the gate. Now, I know it's not going to work exactly like this, but could you imagine? You know, you're heading up to heaven. And y'all have heard the joke, you know, where the lady passes away and she gets up there. And I don't think St. Peter's going to be waiting at the gate, but, you know, in the story, St. Peter's waiting at the gate. And he says, you've got to know the password. Well, what's the password? And he says, love. You got to spell love. She spells love. You know the story. Peter has to do something. She's standing there. And by that time, here comes somebody else, and it's her ex-husband. She says, you've got to know the password to get in. He says, well, what is it? She says, well, you've got to spell Czechoslovakia. I know we hear a lot of those stories, but it's not going to be exactly like that. And I've got one in my mind about heaven that's like that. Imagine walking up the portals, knowing you're about to enter into the portals of glory. And it's like this. When I walk through that gate, all the cares of life, all the pain, all the struggles, it's going to be behind me. And you start looking on this side, and you look on that side. And you're seeing a walker over here in a wheelchair, and you're seeing the pains of life. And you look over here, and you see all the wickedness that's just piled up. Because it won't go in. Here's something that's heavenly about a heavenly mind. You can be a Christian and still have a vice. You can fight things as a Christian. Sometimes people say, well, if you're a Christian, you ought not to have trouble with this or that. If you believe that, you'll never be able to work and celebrate recovery ministry. But you can be a Christian and still have a vice. That's why Paul wrote, he said, we should lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But you know, I look over there and I can see all them liquor bottles thrown down. All them bad habits, all them troubles, all them things that have chased us in our life and caused us not to have the peace with God that we want to have. They're not going to enter into heaven, because the ultimate victor, we're going to be standing in the presence of God. Amen. We've all got doctors. Y'all got doctor's appointments. I'm getting to the point I've got to have doctor's appointments. In heaven, there's going to be one physician. And he's going to be the light. And when we're in his presence, he's the healer. And there's nothing coming inside the gates of heaven that's going to defile. Amen. Even the things. Have you ever battled as a Christian and said, oh, if I could, I would like to just lay this down. I want to tell you, Peter did it. It's not going in. You just need to be saved. That's all. Brother Tim Lee last night, when he gave the invitation, I really think he did a great job giving it. He said, when you write, I want you to take the card and I want you to fill it out. He said, I want you to find a place on it. And now he said, I want you to write the word saved in big letters. I got a stack of cards here that was took up last night. I just want to show you one of them as they get ready to play a song. And I know you in the back are not going to be able to see it. This is a card somebody filled out, and this is how big they wrote the word saved. That's all you got to be to go to heaven. If you want to have a day in your future where everything's laid down, where every sorrow, every burden, every care, every trouble is put behind you, all you got to do is be saved. Well, how am I going to be saved? You got to believe, the Bible says, in your heart and confess with your mouth that God's raised him from the dead. You just got to accept Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes people say, well, I can't be like so-and-so. God doesn't want you to be like anybody else. He just wants you to be the best you that you can be. What you need to agree with God about is you'll never be the best you that you can be until you come to Him. And when you come to Him, He'll begin a work and a process in your life to take you on a journey that will be His plan for your life. I want to go to heaven, and I am looking forward to the things that won't be there. Now, what's going to be there? Well, the Bible says those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What's that? That's those that are saved. Right. Well, what else is going to be there? Think about this. There are things we enjoy in this life, and sometimes when I think about them on a good day, I think, God, wouldn't this be in heaven? Wouldn't the fellowship that we've enjoyed the past couple of days be in heaven? And I looked at the beauty of God's creation, and you know, God created it. Wouldn't it be in heaven? The things that we enjoy, the Bible says in the 37th Psalm, to delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. And here's what heaven is going to be. All the good and none of the bad. I ask you to rise to your feet as they play a song. If you're here this morning and God has spoke to your heart, we believe in an open altar here. That means if you want to come pray at any given time, you can come pray. But this is a special time. And it's a special time because I believe it's a time that God's Holy Spirit is doing some work. I believe it's when God speaks to people, and I believe based on what I read in the Word of God, if you come to God, you've got to first be drawn. What does that mean? That means you've got to be in a position that God is speaking to your heart. And if God is speaking to your heart right now as we play this song, it's very important that you respond to that. You can come pray. Somebody will pray with you. We'll have men with men, ladies with ladies. Young people, there's somebody here that will pray with you. If God spoke to your heart, would you come?
Through so many dangers and toils of this life, I have already come, and He keeps on giving the grace and the strength to just keep pressing on. He's given a promise, and I am gonna stand on every word His holy word has said. And holding His hand, I'll never fear whatever lies ahead. And that's when